Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My bet is that if we took the collective number of times that the people in this room, and I'm including those of you in the family room in the back, hey, how's it going? If we were to take the collective number of times that we have listened to that reading from Luke, the story of the birth of Christ, and added it all up, guessing we would have a number in the hundreds, if not thousands. Is that fair to say? Even if some of you, church isn't usually your thing or not, I don't know. My bet is you've still heard that part. So as I thought about it, I decided I don't want to talk about Luke tonight. Instead, I'm going to talk to you about two other things. I'm going to talk to you about Ivor's Seafood Bar, and about the horticulture of southeastern Brazil. There you go. I love Ivers. I've loved Ivers for as long as I can remember. Growing up in South King County, the closest one was in Federal Way. I know this because when I got my driver's license, I was quite happy to be able to drive myself to Federal Way and to partake. And I did so frequently. And when I went off to college in Tacoma, I became very accustomed to going to the one at the end of 512 where it meets I-5. Dave was the manager. He's not there anymore. Last I saw him, he was in Mukilteo. I'm serious. The staff knew me, I knew them, and when my truck pulled into the parking lot, they knew what my order was and had it ready for me. When I went off to seminary in California, I had a problem. Ivers is up here. Except at the time, it turned out there was one single branch outside of the state, and it was 50 miles south in Santa Clara, California. So a buddy of mine who liked to drive and to talk while we drove would drive me from time to time from Berkeley, California, down to Santa Clara so we could go to this random mall. I could get my order, we would eat and talk, and then drive back home. We won't talk about my year in Ohio where they have Long John Silver. That is not fish. Coming back to the Pacific Northwest after graduation from seminary, I found myself in Chinook, Washington. On the plus side, lots of salmon and lots of halibut. The downside, my closest Ivers was in Olympia. 2 hours or more, depending on how the little one took the road trip. Then I got here, and it's closer, and that was great. Except I'm a pastor, which means, let's face it, sometimes I want to be frugal. So I tried to figure out how to make it for myself. I've been experimenting over the years and had failed many a time. I've tried many different recipes for making delicious battered fried fish. And so I was quite happy when my parents, today actually, for Christmas, gave me this. The official Ivers cookbook. And on page 122 and 123, I already have it memorized, I found the following recipe. Fish and chips aplenty. Canola or other vegetable oil for deep frying. 1.5 pounds of cod fillets cut into 12 2-ounce pieces. 1/2 cup water. 1 large egg white. 2 tablespoons cornstarch. 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt. 1/4 teaspoon baking powder. Everything seemed so normal until I got to the next bit. 1/3 cup plus 1 tablespoon rice flour. And 1/4 cup chickpea flour. Rice flour and chickpea flour. For 20 years of my life, I have wondered how to make that thin, crunchy assumed that I needed to use regular flour. I mean, that makes sense, right? Why wouldn't I make that assumption? Why wouldn't I just assume that, like anywhere else, some combination of regular flour and possibly beer, because you always hear about beer battered chips and fish and whatever, was the magic answer? And then just a few hours ago, I find out, no, I was looking in the wrong place. It was all about chickpeas and rice. We heard a story a little bit ago about people who were looking in the wrong place. The people of the time of Christ, when he was born, they didn't see that coming. Because he's an itty bitty baby. In a feeding trough. In a backwater town, too far from Jerusalem to matter. No one saw it coming. They wanted a warrior. They wanted a king. They wanted someone who would kick down the Roman oppressors, throw them out, and give them back their country. Many of you have been here as we've been working through a series of readings the last several months, and we've traveled from the beginnings of the stories in Genesis through the entirety of the Old Testament, the arc of the story of the people of God. As they eventually got to their land, got their kingdom, and then watched it all fall apart. And by the time they came to the time of Jesus, they were expecting flour. They thought they knew what they wanted, they just had to figure out the right way to put it together. They thought they knew what the promise was. All about chickpeas and rice. Something out of left field. I never would have come up with that recipe on my own. I never would have figured that out. I kid you not, when I was in Chinook, I used to experiment. I had all this fish people were giving me. So a pastor, they'd knock on your door. Hey, pastor, here, we just caught some halibut. Here's some salmon. Here, blah, blah, blah. It's wonderful. Side note, don't try and deep batter crab and doesn't work. But I never thought to look there. I never thought to throw out that kind of ingredient. How often do we see that sort of thing in our lives? How easy is it to think that we know what we're doing? That we have it all together. Or maybe if we're really honest with ourselves, we pretend we have it all together. I do that all the time. A few folks were here earlier when we did the service for the kids. About five and a half hours ago. Got all these 2 and 3 year olds up here. Oh, I was faking that. That was chaos. You ever done that? Tried to keep it together long enough so no one would notice that you didn't know what you were doing? That you're just trying to figure a way through life? That baby in that manger, that's a promise to us. That we don't have to fake it. We don't have to worry about that because we have a promise from God in Christ. That there's something bigger than us. There's something more important than us. There's something more lasting than us. What is this?
Christmas cactus.
Christmas cactus. I'm amused beyond belief tonight because my aunt and my uncle are here, and I actually got this from my aunt. And when I pulled it out, I saw her grin. Aunt Diane, where did this cactus originate from?
Your grandma.
From my grandmother. Now, given that Billy Lund- that's part of a 65-year-old plant. Have any of you ever raised a Christmas cactus before? Some of you have. I'm going to tell you right now, if you are not a horticulturalist, this is an awesome plant. Because I can't kill it. Which tells me you probably can't either. It seems to thrive on just the sort of benign neglect that I offer plants. I remember to water it occasionally. It's quite happy. Do you know how you propagate or spread these sorts of plants? Pretty easy. You can literally break off a bit here. Probably they should let it dry out a bit first, and then you plant it in the water. Eventually, roots will start to pop out of this bottom. You give it time, you give it care, give it some attention. That part I wouldn't be so good at. But you do that, you can make a new one. That's where this one came from. It didn't used to be this impressive. It's not that big yet, but I mean, let's be honest, if I keep it 50, 60 years, it's going to get big. I'm going to need a second office just for the plant. Faith can be like that. It starts off so small. It might even start off dry and look dead. I'm a pastor. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't have perfect faith. Not even close. I can't tell you how many times I wrestled. Shouldn't even put it in the past tense, wrestle. And that's okay. Because I have this promise. I have this promise from God in Christ. This promise that there is something bigger, more meaningful, that I'm a part of that. Connected to that. Do you know why this thing is blooming right now? Look outside. How many plants do you see blooming around here? None, right? Why is this one blooming? Because it's Christmas. I told you at the start I was going to talk about the horticulture of southeastern Brazil. It's from Brazil. That's why. This silly plant thinks it's in the southern hemisphere. This plant thinks it's June. This plant doesn't care what's going on around it. This plant isn't distracted by anything else. This plant isn't trying to figure out how to fit in. This plant isn't trying to figure out, you know, well, what am I going to do with my life? Why don't the kids call enough? The plant isn't worried about money or anything like that. Of course it is. It's a plant. But this plant is still connected to its roots. Well, literally it is. It's a plant. But it's also connected to the roots of where it first came from. It's still operating on that clock. Sometimes in faith we talk about two things. We talk about two ways of time, chronos and kairos. Chronos is like the chronometer. Chronology, the ticking of the clock, tick, 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 okay? Kairos is God's time, the opportune time, the right time. Kairos doesn't care what the clock says. Kairos just knows. God just knows. Give this plant a year, it's going to bloom around about this same time again. Because as far as it's concerned, that's when it's supposed to do it. Now, admittedly, the plant isn't making that decision. I'm not trying to anthropomorphize the plant. Yes, I did just use anthropomorphize in a sermon. But the point still stands. Tonight and every year, December 24th and 25th, we remember when we celebrate the birth of this little baby 2,000 years ago. This tiny little backwater in Israel. Well, whatever you want to call it back then. And that moment isn't just stuck back then. That moment still matters today. It still blooms today. It still shows up in unexpected ways. I still can't believe it's chickpea. Man, chickpea flour, I never would have come up with that. When you leave here, when you go home, you're probably going to call it night because it's getting late. I understand that. You're going to wake up tomorrow. You're going to do maybe some stockings or hang out with family and friends, open a few more presents. Or maybe all of them. I don't know. I grew up in a do-it-on-the-24th family. But I hope at some point during all of that, you remind yourself of one simple thing, and that is this: God loves you. That's what this is all about. And I don't just mean this in this moment. I mean the big this. I mean outside of these walls. I mean when you're at work. I mean when you're arguing with your spouse. I mean when your kids are driving you crazy. I mean when your grandkids aren't calling enough. I mean when your fiancé has done whatever fiancés do. I don't know, it's been a while. God loves you. And God loves you so much. Put that itty bitty little baby in that dirty old manger 2,000 years ago. Kickstart a story of that relationship. Let us pray. Holy, good, and gracious God, we thank you this evening for the birth of your Son, for the ways in which you are a part of our lives. We ask you to help us to be mindful of you, aware of you, and open to you. We give you thanks on this night for family, for friends, and most of all, for your love through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. And all of God's people said, Amen.